This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let me tell you something here. Last week, if you heard Nick Redfern and his Paracast stingers went on forever. And I'm told that is only a small example of the things he does sometimes when he's in the right mood, as Greg Bishop was telling us. MJ Benias.
You're in
the Paracast.
They're trying to do it together. They want to start a duo. Instead of Peter and Gordon, it's going to be MJ and Michael. Or Michael and MJ, depending on who gets top billing.
Well, one of them has to take a note and sing that note, and then I'll sing a note that's like a third or a fifth above it or something like that.
I might go into a couple of things that we're seeing on your blog, MJ. We can go back to your entry for Reframing the Debate. You have an article there about the Flatwoods Monster. Now, I haven't heard much about the Flatwoods Monster in many, many years.
Yeah.
What makes it interesting to you?
Yeah, so the article about the Flatwoods Monster is actually, it's a review of Seth Breedlove's documentary. So I got to see it sort of before it came out, and I got the chance to review it. I find the Flatwoods Monster case, and I find generally actually all of Breedlove's documentaries interesting because they all kind of focus on a specific sort of monster story. I think I find monsters themselves interesting as a concept. And Flatwoods is this very weird one. And it's weird because it's so absurd. You have, you know, these kids and their mother and sort of a friend, I suppose, who sort of run out in the woods and they bump into this, good Lord, they bump into this sort of thing that sort of floats above the ground. It looks like a sort of a missile hover, like, you know, vertical missile hovering, and it has these large red eyes and it has these sort of gangly arms with claws. And then this sort of curious, very like 1950s, 1960s stylized kind of teardrop. I'm not sure what you'd call it. It reminds me almost like a vampire cape, you know, like a Bela Lugosi sort of high neckline vampire kit that kind of goes above his head, and it's sort of bright and shining. They have this experience with this thing, whatever it is. And it seems so strange because there's not much else in the ufological sort of literature or narrative that sort of resembles this. When you see a picture of the Flatwoods Monster, you know, you sort of know, okay, that's the Flatwoods Monster. And I've never really seen it before or after anywhere else. It's kind of this one-off moment almost.
Now, just to point out here, this was not the ghost of Bela Lugosi. He did not die until 1956, 4 years later.
There you go. That's right. But I think the Flatwoods Monster brings to light sort of an idea about monsters themselves in general, and this maybe touches on what we were talking about previously about things that are sort of objective and subjective in reality. You know, can monsters be both? Can a monster be something that's very real as your coffee cup, but also something that comes from your imagination? And I think Breedlove's film sort of asks this question in a roundabout way. And that's why I find it interesting, because we never really see the Flatwoods Monster ever again, at least not anywhere else, apart from maybe Flatwoods. And no one's really bumped into it. Unlike, you know, other monsters or other things within ufology, you know, everyone sees greys, for example, and we have sort of this reiteration of greys throughout the ufological narrative or you know, other types of aliens. But this weird Flatwoods Monster just kind of stands out as this curious one-off. That's why I find it sort of interesting. But the broader question is can something be both objective and subjective simultaneously? Can something exist in reality, like your coffee cup, but also be sort of part of the imagination? And that's the question that sort of, I think, the film asks in an interesting way.
Well, you know, when I hear the word monster or monstrosity, I think of something huge, overwhelming. But when you look at the etymology of the word, it's more related to the notion of a divine omen, a portent, a sign, An abnormal shape. I know, it's interesting. An abnormal shape, a repulsive character, something that is, I don't know if you've ever dealt with this concept when you're one. Did you ever watch, there was a movie that came out a few years back. It was Beowulf. I think it was.
I know the story. I've never seen it. Like, I've never seen the film.
The film was one of the experiments they did with, they tried to make something as lifelike as they could using just CGI. And it was,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And there was a problem with this kind of, it was the uncanny effect. It was repulsive because it was something that was close enough to reality, but not exactly hitting all of the. And so I think the idea is that when you look at the word monster, which is the definition in, the 14th century, was a malformed human or animal or human, somebody who's afflicted with a birth defect. And that's something that I think is probably hits deeply into our, into our reptilian brain, is that when we see something that's almost real, but not quite, that becomes a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And it also comes from a root, means to warn them away. This is a repulsive object, awful, abomination. These are all synonyms, but it's just a really interesting etymology. But when I think of the word monster, I think of something huge, gigantic, like a turducken. Take every creature in the world and combine it into this big, massive ball of just this monstrous. See, look, I can't even, I have to use the word, this monstrous turducken of every single thing that exists. And we have the beginnings of a real nightmare, one that you wake up from in a cold sweat.
I have never been afraid of a turducken before.
Well, I not either, but I use that term what I really mean is combining a whole bunch of things together, like a centaur or a griffin.
Right.
But then you have in dream imagery, and particularly in the nightmares that I had, and this is a subject for another show, Gene. I always dreamt of, basically, if you took all of Noah's Ark, what really would have been on Noah's Ark. If there was such a thing, and you put it in a big ball and you threw it at me, that was the most terrifying thing I'd ever seen. So that's what I think of when I think of monstrosity, is just right. a combination of things. You see this in Alien, where this creature pushes itself out of the stomach of a human being, or you see this, this thing that has basically absorbed a bunch of human beings, and all of their faces are sticking out. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of monstrosity or a monster.
Well, I think the idea of the monster is that it's sort of this thing that crosses boundaries, right? Which is where I think the film, and where sort of my article, or I guess my review of it, sort of tries to go. You have this thing which sort of exists in multiple realms, right? Like you say, it's a combination. And I think when we talk about monsters, and humans have been sort of talking about and potentially seeing monsters, since time immemorial, you have to then have something that is both real enough anyway, that it's discussed and talked about around campfires, and over meals, and that you warn your children not to go too far in the woods, because, something very real can happen to them. But also, they're also sort of this curious subjective collection of ideas that usually are culturally based, again, formed from a certain language or a cultural background, that, what are the anxieties and fears of that culture, and how can we collaborate them into something that is real, or something that roams the woods at night? And like you say, right? Monsters are this collection of ideas, both maybe real and imagined. And the Flatwoods Monster is this great example. It's sort of very much something frightening and large, but it's also almost technological. It hovers above the ground. It has this sort of curious body that is more machine than biological.
Let's go into more machine stuff here. The commercial cart. with Michael and MJ and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes. They change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Why are we talking about carts? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's continue our discussion.
The Flatwoods Monster is this mix of technology from a Cold War sort of fearing public and a biological being. It's this sort of machine animal, machine creature as sort of the way it was described by the initial witnesses. So again, it's this blending of reality and objectivity and subjectivity, which is why I find it interesting.
This was kind of a singular episode. We've had monsters, but were there any monsters of record that resembled the so-called Flatwoods monster?
And that's sort of what the film presents a little bit. Like, the town of Flatwoods had, apparently, I think it had only, you know, half a dozen or so sightings of this thing all around sort of a quite a close period of time. There were dozens of other sightings of other monsters in Flatwoods. People were seeing sort of Bigfoot-like creatures. People were seeing sort of strange large dogs roaming around. People were seeing UFOs. People were seeing sort of aliens. But the specific Flatwoods monster, sort of as described by the initial witnesses, only showed up a few times within a short period of time and then sort of vanished from, I guess, the lore of the town. People then sort of started telling other tales. We saw this hairy beast running around or whatever. When's the last time anyone saw a Flatwoods monster running around? I can't really tell you. That's why they're so beautiful. It's a good story. Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, you see these examples where people see all different types of paranormal phenomena in one area, for instance, and they don't seem to be related. And this is, by the way, what I think, Gene, is why people are tempted to try to create a unified, for lack of a better term, a unified field theory of the paranormal, or unified that encompasses all. And I think that's a very bad direction to move in, because in cases where you have people who are in an area that's where phenomenon occurs and they may be interpreting it in a certain way, it's not good to just simply say that it all comes from one simple source. And I guess in one respect, it might, if you think, well, there's this proximity, but it bothers me a lot when I hear people trying to combine all of the, let's say that, for instance, we are being visited by aliens, and that's like a very small percentage of paranormal, you know, and I hate that term, by the way. I hate the word paranormal because I think everything is normal. I mean, when you look at, this is my point of view, is that at some point we're going to have an understanding of something we didn't understand. That's what science hopefully gives us. I know that's, you test something out, you learn, you go through the scientific process, you run your experiments, you test your hypothesis, you revise your hypothesis, and all of these things combine to help us advance our knowledge a little bit by little bit and weed out the things that don't make sense. But I think that a lot of times in the paranormal field, this is my soapbox, Gene, but we try to combine everything and throw everything into one bucket and try to explain it all from one simplified theory.
In other words, the unified field theory. You opened a thread in the Paracast forums about it. So explain to MJ what this is all about.
So basically, this has been a discussion that's kind of evolved over the last couple of times that I've been on, because I have a tendency to be a broken record. And
is that what you said?
Nice. Yeah, I repeat myself. I'm going to be standing for
repeat it. Himself. Okay. Repeat himself.
Yeah, repeat
himself. It's a line from a comedian. People who smoke too much weed repeat themselves, repeat themselves, repeat.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm basically saying is that there's a lot of people who try to construct a theory that accounts for all the phenomena. Now, I think that when Stan Friedman comes out and he says it, and he sounds like a broken record, and I sound like a broken record copying a broken record when I say this, but he says some UFOs or some unidentified flying objects, underline some, underline 150,000 times or whatever number he chooses to do in his lecture, because it changes in every lecture, may be, are probably extraterrestrials really visiting our planet. Not all. And then he just goes into his thesis about why he thinks that, you know, UFOs are extraterrestrials, they come here, blah, blah, blah. There's all of this, you know, Roswell and Corona and all this stuff. I think that, in a way, is kind of expressing what we're dealing with is a phenomenon that is filtering, that gets filtered through our own ability to, you know, to our subjective experience of reality, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something out there that might not be objective. And then when you look at some of the other things like the Skinwalker Ranch, which I think is very compelling, there was a lot of events that happened over there that don't make sense. And so people try to lump everything together. They said, well, this can't be this. We have to have some kind of a unified theory that makes all of this make sense. And I think that's the wrong way to approach it, because I think the phenomenon is pluralistic, partly because human beings themselves and their experience, their background, and what they bring to the table is itself pluralistic. But not only that, but maybe the actual root cause in the objective world, if you, you know, want to go there, is also of different sources. And we just simply don't know what it is. And so we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to lump it all into, well, we don't know what it is, so we're going to call it paranormal. We can't explain it. Now we need a hypothesis that unifies, that gives, that makes sense out of all of this. So.
No, yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know, like I said, I'm relatively agnostic on the whole ufological sort of issue, the phenomenon itself. I have, you know, ideas, I suppose, and maybe I have certain leanings or biases, but I try to remain as agnostic as possible. So I'll play devil's advocate maybe a little bit. So don't take this as, you know, for the audience, don't take this is what MJ Benias believes. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But in regards to the phenomenon, you know, I think while I agree with you that, you know, the scientific approach is a valid approach, I think the issue then is what happens, and you sort of said this earlier, what happens when you deal with, in this new brave world of studying UFOs via science, what do you then do with all of the anomalies that occur within the UFO phenomenon? Because we can't say the UFO phenomenon is consistent in any way. When you look at it as a whole, the narrative is so varied and so complex that it has tons of anomalies. Like it's an anomalous thing with anomalies in it. So
that's a good quote, by the way. I like that.
Thanks. So how then do you, like, what gives your process the right to say, or the ability to say, this anomaly is legitimate, this anomaly is not?
Well, and that's I think that's the $1 million question.
We have really? millions more questions coming up. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
expectation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You notice they're not trying to display their vibratos.
There's going to be a point, Gene. I love these. You might have to edit this out, but I love these commercial breaks like that we have to stop. I may, at some day, when I have enough money, I may just, like, buy a whole episode and be like, no commercial breaks, just let us talk.
Well, the problem with that is difficult because the network inserts the commercials automated.
Yeah.
So the only thing you could do then is buy the first minute of each commercial break for up to 9 breaks and sell anything you want. Or just talk, have a conversation with our listeners. But otherwise, it's the Paracast Plus.
Unless I buy the network.
Well, that's a good idea, because then you can send us a paycheck every week.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good.
I didn't know you were independently wealthy.
I certainly am not. That's what I'm saying. When I have money, when my ufological career starts making money. I'm just joking. There's no such thing.
Making money in the UFO field is a joke.
There's no such thing. When I become the next David Wilcock.
Well, excuse me.
And I can rob people. I mean, I can convince people to give me their money.
We got to destroy capitalism first.
I'm just joking. I'm just messing. I'm just having fun, though. Just having fun.
No. So what were we talking about, Gene?
It reminds you of what Q said. I never joke, 007.
No, really.
Did he say that?
Anyway, let's jump away from Flatwoods, because the mixture of articles that you run are interesting. You have an article on Billy Meyer. Now, let me tell you something. Back in the early days of the Paracast, I don't know if you two were listening, we had 2 episodes with
Michael Horn.
Of course, the official American representative. Because nobody else volunteered for the job. Basically, they said, who wants to represent Billy Meyer? And nobody answered. And then they said, Michael, it's yours. And he said, okay, because he was doing nothing else, I guess. Now, we had him on. And in the second episode, my co-host, my original co-host, debated him, more or less. And it got to be a wordy debate. I don't think it was hard-hitting as it should have been, but we had a couple of thousand messages on the PowerCast forums. If you look up Billy Meyer, look up the early stuff. Now, I wonder here, MJ Benias, why, after all these years, did you think that Billy Meyer was a topic worth a blog about?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to remember how this all, I don't remember how this all started. Something happened where, oh man. Okay, I'm gonna start with this. I think I was on a podcast where Billy Meyer came up as a topic of conversation, to which I sort of jokingly referred, I believe, to one of the photographs, or a series of photographs that were sort of from the Billy Meyer sort of collection. And I think I said something on how, you know, they clearly looked fake or whatever. And then I made the claim that Billy Meyer was a cult leader. Michael Horn took offense to this, or at least took issue with it. Probably didn't take offense, took issue with it. And he, on one of his YouTube shows, sort of called me out and said, you know, I was listening to this podcast or this radio show or whatever, and this young asshole came, sorry, can I swear on this show?
Punk.
I apologize.
You know what, that's as far as you can go.
I can restate, sorry, edit. This young punk.
Whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Whippersnapper.
This young pup came out and, you know, called Billy Meyer a cult leader, and he's not, and it sort of went on from there, and he's just sort of insinuated that I didn't know what I was talking about. So I don't know how I actually came across this at all. I think I Googled myself for some reason, because I was looking for a podcast that I was on, and I didn't remember the name of the show, so I just, sometimes I Google myself, and I'll just scroll down YouTube, and I'll find, oh yeah, okay, this is the one. And I saw that I was on this guy named Michael Horn, who I'd never heard of before, on his podcast or his YouTube show. I was like, why the hell is my name here? So I clicked on it and I watched it, and, you know, sure enough, he starts talking about it. So then I wrote an article sort of about this situation and about Billy Meyer himself, which led to Michael Horn then sort of reading it and confronting me again over it on his show. And we had a very long back and forth. We had several emails that were like, you could probably publish into a book, just going back and forth over the Billy Meyer case and him presenting his evidence and me sort of trying to be at times kind, and at times I was probably pretty cutting, and I shouldn't have been. I'm typically a nice person. And anyway, we had a bit of a disagreement. I wrote this blog post, he then posted on my blog, I responded, and anyway, after a series of emails, we decided to just sort of shake hands and leave things sort of amicably between us. And you can sort of, if you actually read the blog post, and then you sort of read the essay that exists after in the comments section, it ends quite nicely where he and I, we reach an agree to disagree concord, and that's it.
Yeah, that's the agree I'm right and you're wrong agreement to disagree. I've had to deal with that in the past, and I have to say, I'm reading your blog, and you are very poignant. You say, here is where he's committing fraud, here. But because I know what you're doing, you're looking at the social aspect of it. You're not.
Yeah.
This is not interesting to you from a point of view of whether it's actually true or not. And I think that's the part where you can sort of have a detached perspective. And I think that's a very good thing. And I find it amusing because, I mean, I wouldn't give this guy the time of day. I would just simply throw him in the garbage bin with everything else, with the Adamskis and all the people that just want to. I mean, this guy lives off of people. He's got people that basically are his. I'm sorry, I'm not going to say this. I probably shouldn't, but they work for him. Okay, they don't get paid. They're basically part of his cult, and they work on his farm and they live with him. And I just, you know, I read your blog and I think you're being very nice, and you are very nice. But you're also pointing out that, hey, this is not right. This is or it, you know, this is something that is not a real thing. This is a, an icon. You say this is a he is merely an icon, an image, an object that people have. It's this self-creating a collective reality between people.
Yeah, thank you for your kind words. I also sort of think as I sit here and reflect on it, I think Billy Meier is similar to sort of what we have today in the UFO sort of community, right? We have these characters, these icons, these sort of images. And again, I sort of pick on the same crew all the time, but it's just, it's so easy. You know, the David Wilcox, the Corey Goods, the Stephen Greers, there's a lot more I could pick on, but I don't want to get, you know, too much. I don't want to be sort of trolled too much after this. So I'm just going to limit to those three, but you know, there's a lot of you out there. But really what they are is they're not cult leaders necessarily, but they are these sort of, I don't know, like they're actors, right? Like is maybe that's the appropriate term. They're actors. They pretend to be something. Again, we can argue whether they actually believe it or not. But they act in a certain way and they act their storyline out. They act their sort of little role and then they sort of reap the benefit of this.
And there's definitely a benefit. I mean,
and unfortunately they can muster a significant amount of people to then go after you if they don't like you. The inherent problem for Billy Meier is that he's sort of so old now and, you know, ufology changes sort of relatively quickly. He's not fading into obscurity, but he kind of is, right? You ask most young people in UFO culture if they know who Billy Meier is. They're like, not really. Oh, is he the guy on the X-Files poster? Like that, the UFO on the X-Files? That Billy Meier? Yeah, that Billy Meier.
We've got more to come this week, and maybe we'll explore Billy Meier and more with Gene, MJ, and Michael. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies.
You create 9/11, do 9/11, then you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, this is also part of the problem when you expose people like a Billy Meyer, or even when you expose somebody like Phil Imbrogno for having fake educational credentials and a faked military record. What happens is they disappear for a while, or they fade into obscurity, and then young people rediscover them. I got, for example, a few years ago, an email asking if I wanted to bring on someone who runs an organization that follows the late George Adamski. And I gave them chapter and verse about how Adamski was exposed over the years, including the 1957, Saucer News special edition where they exposed George Adamski, Jim Moseley, and his crew. And they acted like I never heard of any of this stuff. So they just resurrected George Adamski, or maybe it was Bela Lugosi, you take the stake out of his heart. And we had Adamski again. Of course, I never put them on the show. I thought it was quite boring to talk about a 1950s contactee in the sense of reverence for him. Now, the difference here is that Greg Bishop and Adam Gorightly are doing a book that should be out shortly called A is for Adamski, where they have an interesting presentation on the contactee movement. And that is something we should be interested in. But getting back to Billy Meyer, MJ, you feel like most people do that this guy was a fake from day one, or is it possible sometime in the early years something happened and he just tried to milk it for all it was worth?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Again, it comes down to sort of what I personally believe, and I have no evidence to support sort of my claims here. So whatever I say next, I'm speculating. I think Billy Meyer did have some sort of experience. Whether we can say it's sort of like an objectively real experience, or whether it was like a fugue state or something, I don't know. But I think he believes that something happened.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And again, I'm just speculating here. So, you know, I might be on the wrong side of history for this one, but I think he does believe that something happened to him. What then occurred thereafter, right? I'm going to get an email from Michael Horn. I can feel it. Michael, I'd love to talk to you. I've made peace and I just don't want to disturb.
No, it's fine. I understand. I'm reading your article. You really give him a lot of benefit. You give him a lot of room. Benefit of a doubt is what I said. And I said this earlier.
It's something I've noticed in your blog post is that you really do try to give people a chance to put forth their and try to find something that may be real there, that may be where they really validly believe in something and it is real to them. And it doesn't matter from your perspective because it's a part of a psychosocial kind of nexus. I think for you, it makes sense from that point of view, and I think that's a good approach. Sadly, though, I think there are just some people who just want to make money, or they want to, and you know, he can, if he wants to email anybody, he can email me, julius.dedekind@gmail.com. Send me an email, and I'll respond.
Ask for lots and lots of spam.
Yeah, but that's fine.
You know what? I don't care. I've got a spam filter, and I also have I also type 300 words a minute, so whatever.
Well, I type 2,000 words a minute, so there.
Yeah, I know.
I type faster than a speeding bullet. In fact, I've burned up more keyboards in an hour.
By the way, what I just said is BS. Only a stenographer can do 300 words a minute. So, anyways.
Like, I agree with you. I think there are faces. And like I said, I'm probably the first one who's going to take heat. And I personally believe that both David Wilcock and Corey Good are sort of fraudulent. So, whether, you know...
It's the next generation of attention people.
And I agree. I think that's what it is. I think they're in it for the attention and the money and whatever, turning it sort of UFO discourse into a cottage industry. So I'm prepared to say that. Like I haven't written an article yet because.
Well, you did. It's called Capital. If you're going to bring in the ufological framework, if you're going to, you got to absorb it into the capitalistic framework, which means you got to get people out there who make money off of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, I think that makes sense. I think you actually outlined this scenario. I don't know if you realize it, but when you mentioned it, you talked about how, the capitalistic framework has to either absorb it in some way and then convert it into something that is mundane or not. And then what's the other option? Well, I think you've summed it up in your quote in the very beginning. I think you'd be more likely to have the end of the world than the capitalism ending.
Yeah.
That gets back, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a book by Yuval Noah called Sapiens, which is a very interesting book on the notion of on how capitalism as a belief system is actually the world's largest religion. Mm-hmm. The belief that money, the belief in money and credit and fiat currency, which, by the way, I'm not against it because it's, again, the society creates its own reality by agreeing to it. And he talks about it as being a kind of a motivating force in capitalism. It's a very interesting book. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think capitalism is a religion. I think it has its own dogma. And it's interesting because, again, from a ufological standpoint, from sort of the UFO subcultural standpoint, those characters in ufology, the sort of the talking heads, the frauds, who are in it for the cottage industry. What really surprises me and what really I find interesting and compelling is why do members of the UFO community, why do they stand for it? When it was announced that Corey Good was participating in the MUFON symposium, why did sort of members of MUFON attend, right? As a member of MUFON, one would think you would sort of believe in the more scientific aspects of ufology. To which sort of Corey Good is sort of the perfect antithesis to the scientific aspect of ufology, as David Wilcock. So we have this strange, kind of, and curious, what's the word, tendency in the UFO community to just say, well, the talking heads are going to talk, and that's okay, or we forgive them for doing that, right? Like, we forgive the fact that a conference like contact in the desert exists. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like contact in the desert is this, it's a sort of wild west of ideology where anyone can say anything. And in fact, the vast majority of the speakers at Contact in the Desert disagree with one another, right? Like, one attends Contact in the Desert and they go to 15 different lectures and all 15 are in total opposition to one another, right? Because ultimately everyone's pitching their own, ideology and philosophy. And half the time, you know, they call the guy literally in the other room, or not the other room, the guy in the other tent, a fraud. Just by default, because, you know, they're saying I'm right and everyone else is wrong. So for some reason in the UFO discourse, we allow this to occur, right? We want to sort of, and I find this strange. I find this weird that we have no problem with this going on. That this sort of lack of criticism and critical thinking sort of exists.
Well, it's as you said, it's the democratization of information. It's that double-edged sword that comes down, and who you allow any voice to come in, and even if it goes to the level of anarchy and cacophony. In other words, as long as it's something that is it's as a reminder is that. Well, what did they all have in common? And that's probably that they all distrust some form of authority. And I think that that's probably where you're dealing with, is that as long as that you have something that questions the authoritative understanding of reality, even if it's a scientific one, there's a gathering of people who are attracted to it.
Who are still all willing to bow down before the altar of David.
Right, exactly.
They're still willing to submit themselves to something.
With me, what they do is they don't bow down. They throw tomatoes. Or is it tomatoes?
They throw tomatoes at me.
And now for something completely different. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.